I got a 12-inch dick and a dozen roses.
And a pickup truck.
Hubba, 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 hey.
Yeah, that was horrible. We were not synced up at all.
No. Nothing exacerbates the delay, the internet delay, like trying to fucking harmonize. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 30 for Wednesday, the 1st of April, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me tonight is Kent. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, man.
We're a fun show already.
Yeah, already. We're not alone, though.
Are we doing our damn thing yet?
This is the damn thing.
This is the damn thing. Well, let's bring our guest in for the damn thing, then. With us this week is your cousin, Jonathan Osher. How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm good.
All right. We have you here tonight for a very specific reason. We're not just, we're just going to be Jonathan Osher fans today.
Although we very well could be.
That is a direct possibility. I mean, that is that's something that can happen and quite possibly might. But you live where?
Lafayette, Indiana.
Lafayette, Indiana.
That's going to become relevant information later in this show.
Was that intentionally very, very slow? Were you like dragging that out?
That was intentionally slow. No. It wasn't. That was just me trying to practice my vocalization for something I don't know, and that was a fail. So we're moving on.
Oh, hi! Moving on. How was your week, man?
Mine has been good. Start the counter. A lot of the same.
That's no better.
Stuff. Retirement, trying to get hired. I had to deal with the VA, and that's never a good time.
How did that go?
No, horrible. Just as horrible as you can imagine, and there are appointments that I'm going to have to make that are going to be even more horrible than you can imagine, I'm sure. Because the bureaucracy of the VA, wow, it gives the military a run for its money. It is intense. So
every time I hear the word bureaucracy, I think of a quote. And, of course, I don't know who originated the quote. I just know who said it when I remembered it. And the speaker, when I remembered it, was Leonard Nimoy.
Ah.
The game, I believe, was Civilization IV. And the quote is, "The bureaucracy has expanded to meet the needs of the growing bureaucracy."
Yeah, or however you say that word.
Yeah, I said it like three different times in that one quote. So there it is. But yeah, every time I hear the word bureaucracy, I said it right. That quote pops in my head, and especially poking it now. I'm not even sure I'm using that word right or
probably
saying
not.
It right, but I like it. Poignant.
Cool. Right. Next on. One. So other
All
than...
All right, Jonathan, go ahead. I'm trying to skip right ahead, man. I'm ready to...
Yeah.
I'm just flying through this.
Just step on me.
You know
that's,
what?
That's cool.
Yeah, hey, co-host.
Matter. That's our prerogative. Speaking of words that we don't pronounce or use properly.
Sometimes both, or either or neither.
Wow. So I did a couple things this weekend that fall into my geek realm.
Way to move it along.
Yeah. On Saturday I did something that I've been meaning to do for a very long time. For the first time ever,
wiped your ass.
No, I've done that a few times. I've done that a few times before.
Once or twice? With or without paper?
Hey, that's private.
Should I not talk about the technique? Okay. we'll just move along that you finally wiped your ass and also you decided to brew some beer.
Yeah.
I'm hoping those two are not related.
No, actually, beer brewing has to be very, very sanitary, so I had to sanitize everything, including my hands. So, yeah, but it, that was it's something that's been on my to-do list for a very, very long time. And my girlfriend for Valentine's Day bought me a starter kit for brewing. And I finally this past Saturday had the opportunity, the time allotted to actually do this thing. And it's in my closet actually right now fermenting. So pretty excited about that. It was a lot of fun doing it, and I cannot wait to see if it turns out.
How long's it got to ferment for?
1 to 2 weeks. I'm hoping it's going to take about a week or so. Yeah, well, I mean, you have to kind of, you have to monitor it. You have to watch the bubbles because the yeast are in there doing their thing. And they're producing not only alcohol, but also carbon dioxide, which produces bubbles. So that's a real helpful tool to know when it's done fermenting, because once the yeast are basically, they're full on the sugar and they don't want to make anything else, they also stop producing carbon dioxide, so you don't get any more bubbles. So you know it's time to bottle at that point.
Gotcha.
So hopefully next week I'll have an update on that. Then on Sunday, something that falls into
Sunday.
Something that falls into one of my other areas of my geek spectrum. WrestleMania was Sunday. Jonathan, are you still a wrestling fan?
Not an active wrestling fan.
Yes. I was a dormant wrestling fan for a few years, and I was where you are, but I just got the WWE Network a couple of months ago. And
how's that?
Oh, dude, it is awesome.
How Isaac and I. Is that? Oh, dude.
Hey, dudes know what that means. No, but Isaac and I have been wearing that thing out, man. It's it is so cool. If you're a wrestling fan, for only $9.99 a month, dude, you can't not beat it. Everything is on there. It's really, really cool. You get all the pay-per-views for free. Well, as part of the thing. Yeah, because you know how the pay-per-views are like $50 or $60.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, $9.99 a month, pay-per-views included, live. Live.
No, it's worth it just if you were just going to watch the pay-per-views. It's
exactly.
Worth it.
Exactly. I couldn't turn it down. So, so watched WrestleMania Sunday night. It was a lot of fun. Had a few people over. WrestleMania is always a huge show. It's always a lot of crazy stuff. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
High drama.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right. How about you, Jonathan? How was your week?
It's not too bad. Pretty uneventful, but yeah, that's the way we try to keep things here in Indiana.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, Amos and I grew up in Indiana. I think we understand what that means. Yeah, not a lot happens, usually. Like, but when it happens, oh my God.
Like shotgun pellets traveling up some dude's leg and giving him a heart attack and killing him. Like what? Yeah, that actually happened, by the way.
It did. Yeah.
Well, my week was fairly productive. TMO came today and took all my really fun stuff except for my laptop, so they could ship it to Korea. Jerks. I finally got my actual hard copy orders on Monday. That was good. That really continues my out processing cycle. Now I'm actually able to get stuff done, as I spoke about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend was a lot of soccer and a lot of sunburn and very little sleep, unfortunately. So that's pretty much how my week and weekend went.
So overall, not too terrible.
I'm not complaining. I mean, I probably could, but I probably wouldn't even listen to myself at this point.
So you said earlier that you didn't have a chance to watch a TED Talk.
I didn't. It was really pretty busy. I could have made time, but...
just didn't happen for you.
Yeah, no, not this week. I pulled a U.
Right. So it's my turn to catch up, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
I did watch a TED Talk.
No, Jonathan, I'm sure you've heard on the show before, we've made it a goal to watch at least one TED Talk each week. And discuss kind of what we got from it, whether or not we got anything at all, as we both had experience watching TED Talks we really didn't get anything from. On that note, have you ever watched a TED Talk?
I have not.
Okay. Do you know what they are?
I do not.
Okay. Well, that is your assignment then. Just I believe it is TED.org, TED.org, right?
I think so. Is it TED.com or TED.org? Well, whatever. Just Google TED and go to their site and just click on one.
It is TED.com. Usually, well, TED.org will transfer you to TED.com.
Right.
And then you just hit watch and you just pick something that kind of interests you and go with it. And you're
they're usually somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes long.
Yep.
So they're pretty quick, to the point. They're pretty cool. Usually there's something that's worth pondering. The one that I watched this week, I don't know what I was expecting because I searched the term wrestling because, you know, it was WrestleMania week. Wrestling was on my mind. So I searched
hyped.
Wrestling. Only one result showed up. Not surprisingly. I was actually surprised that anything came up. I got a talk from Jane McGonigal, and the title of it is Massively Multiplayer. Thumb wrestling?
Okay.
With the question mark.
Right.
Okay. Let's see what this is about. Really wasn't that much of a talk. She taught the audience how to play her favorite game, which is massively multiplayer thumb wrestling. Everyone knows how to thumb wrestle, right? You lock your hands together. You'd 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war, and then you try to pin the other person. Well, this is kind of like that, except you add in more people to it, 3 or 4 people to the thing, and then you can even expand it further and get more people so that you like. So let's say there's 6 people, right? So 3 people are standing in a circle doing the three-way thumb thing, and then you reach across and you lock hands with one of the other people, and then the remaining people lock thumbs with that person, and this can go on and on. She had the entire TED audience, so I think there's like 1,500 people, were all part of the same thumb wrestling chain. The whole point was she said that in 60 seconds or less, you can experience at least 10 emotions. And the ones that she listed were joy, relief, love, surprise, pride, curiosity, excitement, awe and wonder, contentment, creativity. And she went through this whole thing, explained to these people how to do this thing, got everybody in the whole building involved. Everyone was holding hands, basically. And then she said, go. And they all did their thing. And then she talked for like, I don't know, maybe 30 more seconds about how, you know, everyone experienced all these emotions. And then that was it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it was kind of a weird one.
All right. I'm not saying there's nothing I could have gotten out of that, but I'm glad you watched it, not me.
Right. Right.
Okay.
It was kind of interesting that she called out 10 emotions and said that the people in this room are going to experience these emotions in 60 seconds or less.
And thumb wrestling.
It kind of happened. So that was kind of cool, but not one of the better TED Talks.
Right, right. We can hear Jonathan's dog, I'm guessing, slapping his ears.
That's what I'm
saying. He's shaking off.
Yeah.
That's what I was picturing too.
That's pretty awesome. All right. So before we get to our main topic, I want to get to the topic that I thought was really cool. And it's kind of a geeky subject, but not necessarily. I have 2 exhibits to show to the video audience. And Kent, if you wouldn't mind describing what you see.
Okay.
So the audio listeners will comprehend. Because if I describe it, I mean, I'm already looking at it.
Right.
We're not going to see the same thing. So here is Exhibit A.
It is a clear bottle that looks like a beer bottle, but it is labeled Dr. Pepper.
Right.
And there are the numbers 10, 2, and 4.
Okay. And what do you see right there.
Ah, there's a little label there that says made with sugar.
Okay, okay. And then on the back, you probably wouldn't be able to see it, so I'm just going to explain it. There is no high fructose corn syrup listed as an ingredient in this bottle of Dr. Pepper.
Okay. So it's like the throwback Mountain Dew made with real sugar.
Exhibit B.
Or Mexican Pepsi.
Mexican Pepsi.
Also
made with, by the way, sugar. With no high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm bringing these up is because they are delicious. They don't have any high fructose corn syrup, which is exceptionally bad for you by all accounts, except for the corn industry. And
just to clarify, you say corn, not porn.
Right, right. For the record, I don't know the porn industry's official stance on high fructose corn syrup. So I am not trying to testify for them. But the fact that I found both of these in the same week, I'm really hoping this is a movement towards actual sugar in sodas. And of course, I know you're not supposed to be drinking sodas. But if we can get one mainstream item to start using sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup and start that fade, start that process to get rid of high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. It's already banned in a lot of countries.
Like most.
Yeah, like almost America's, all of them.
Yeah, America is the only country that I know of. Now, I mean, I could be completely fact-checking my imagination here. But America is the only country that is a leading country in use of high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, that's, yeah. Huge, yeah.
This stuff's bad for you. It's really, really bad for you. And I'll put a link in the show notes for a... Here, let me write it down so I don't forget. I'll put a link in the show notes for a video that I recently saw on the effects of high fructose corn syrup and why it was so bad for you.
Yeah. And the only reason that we use high fructose corn syrup, the only reason we do that is because corn is cheaper than cane sugar.
That's right. It. But it's only cheaper because they, yeah, we can get into a whole
Well, there's
thing
a whole, yeah, there's a whole.
Especially with three Hoosiers on the podcast yeah. tonight.
There is more than corn in Indiana.
The whole circle. Just yeah, there is. Yeah. the whole circle or cycle of granting farmers additional money for raising corn because corn wasn't doing much, and then finding uses for the corn, and then continuing that cycle of, okay, well, now we have uses for it. We need more corn, so let's get more people to raise it. Now we've got too much, so let's find another use for it. And, you know, you go down to the supermarket and most, I don't want to say most, but there's a very high percentage of items on the shelf that are going to contain some sort of corn product that 30 to 50 years ago didn't. And it was essentially the same product.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
At the risk of ostracizing all of the Hoosiers in the audience, we need to get rid of our reliance on corn.
Yeah, because there are other cash crops. I mean, soybeans is a big thing in Indiana, actually. Hemp. Yep, right?
Hemp was the primary crop for Indiana prior to its criminalization.
Right.
Wouldn't even
corn. Have you guys seen they've been making a lot of stuff with coconut?
Ugh, my wife made my smoothie the other day with coconut water in it. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, it might still be in the fridge. That damn thing was disgusting. I don't like, my wife uses coconut oil for like cooking and things like that. I'm all for it. It's healthier supposedly or whatever else. More power to you. But as soon as I can actually taste the coconut flavor, I'm done. I'm out. I don't like coconut. I don't like pina coladas. None of that junk. The only thing about coconut that I like is the two pina coladas song from Garth Brooks. That's it. That's as far as my affection for coconut goes. And don't even come with me with no damn mounds or whatever the other damn shit was. Almond joy.
Yeah.
and mounds. No, don't. Mm-mm. Nope. If I'm trick or treating, don't even bother dropping one of those in my bucket. And don't ask me why I'm trick or treating at 37 years old.
Yeah. So
fascists.
What is your coconut take, Jonathan?
I think it's great. Of course, I like coconut. So.
Oh, there you go. It's perfect then.
Alien.
You know, it's great that there's coconut milk, coconut ice cream, coconut. Hell, I just saw a bunch of yogurts that it said now made with coconut and its other flavors. Right. So.
See, the people that love the taste of healthy things, you lucky sons of bitches, man. the things that I like are not good for you. Like, I like ice cream. Like, yes. That's my favorite thing.
They have coconut ice cream?
No. Chocolate. No. I'm talking like cow's milk ice cream. Cow's milk, yes. And sugar.
Have you ever had goat's milk?
I have, yeah. I actually...
Goat's milk ice cream? Oh, my God.
Oh, I never had the ice cream. I've had several different... It's what? Say that again.
It's like eating Crisco.
So that sounds awful. That sounds terrible.
Tastes good. It's just thick as crap.
Oh wow. See, I've had several varieties of goat's cheese, and that's pretty good.
I don't know that I've ever had goat cheese.
Yeah.
Without it being mixed in something that would cover it up any, you know, distinguishing flavors.
That's pretty good. If you get the opportunity, I'm not saying that, you know, go to the supermarket and pick you up some, but if you're at somebody's house and they offer it to you, definitely try it. It's
fuck
a little
it. I'm
bit
gonna
different.
Go buy a goat.
I'm gonna
go buy
that.
A goat and make my own cheese. If you can make your own beer, I'll make my own cheese.
Hell yeah, I'd love to have.
Not really though, not at all.
I would never have to mow the grass again if I had a goat.
Yes, you probably wouldn't have to mow your dogs either. So you know, there's that.
Oh boy. Okay, so. As was alluded
speaking
to at the beginning of the show.
Speaking of Indiana and fucked up shit that some people don't like.
Yeah, so we brought Jonathan on the show tonight as our guest because he lives in Indiana.
Now, in all fairness, we put out an open call. Well, I should say you put out an open call to everyone on your Facebook, particularly those who live in Indiana. Because, again, we're all three of us are from Indiana.
Right.
That if anyone had opinions on it or would like to come on the show and discuss their opinions on it, it was basically an open invitation. And as far as I know, Jonathan is the only one that had the cojones enough to actually appear on the show and state some opinions and
absolutely.
Be willing to possibly debate. So,
absolutely. And thank you, Jonathan, for agreeing to appear on the show.
For having cojones.
Cojones are a good thing.
That could
Cojones
be taken a
Jonathan.
Couple
that's, your, that's your new name. Jonathan Cojones Osher.
Oh boy.
Kind of sounds Hawaiian.
Yeah, a couple people did leave some comments, but yeah, as you said, Jonathan is the only one that had the cojones to actually appear, and I definitely am appreciative for that. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about is Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It's been a dominant topic in the news lately. Jonathan, you live in Indiana, and we're considering you a subject matter expert in this because you live there. Tell us what this
and that he's done some research. He's not just average citizen number four of Indiana. So,
what is the idea, the main idea behind this law? What is it?
All right. So the main idea is to keep the government out of certain issues that might arise in a certain type of lawsuit. And, you know, everybody has this all blown out of proportion that they want to make it an anti-gay movement, and that's simply not what it's about. It's about protecting religious rights. And another thing that I don't agree with is you have the hardcore Bible thumping Christians that make it that the
provides
people that are saying the people that are saying it's anti-gay, they're saying, well, they're being anti-Christian. It's like, guys, you all have this wrong. It is not about any one certain religion. It's about any religion that you don't agree with providing a service for somebody.
Okay, so basically what they were trying to accomplish with this law, or at least as it is stated in the bill itself, is it is protecting citizens, or in this case, residents of Indiana, from being forced by the government to violate their own religious principles or morals, either by action or inaction. So, for example, if I wanted to make a law, let's say I was a mayor and I had some Amish living in my jurisdiction and I wanted to pass a law that said beards are illegal, and part of Amish belief is that men will grow beards.
Exactly.
They cannot, by Indiana law, that mayor is not allowed to enforce the no beard law on the Amish for religious reasons.
How it's stated is the government cannot substantially get involved. Okay, which Connecticut has a similar law, which a lot of people are ignoring, especially their own governor. And theirs is very, very similar, only theirs does not say substantially. So if the government feels that it wants to get involved just a little bit in these matters, they can. And then they can strip the religious rights away from the residents of Connecticut. Well, Indiana's law is, we will not, you know, if it's just a little pissing match that some government would get involved, it's not what this is about. This is about a substantial, you know, blatant discrimination thing. You know, if it's bad enough that it has to go to Supreme Court, you know, it's probably going to be a huge issue with discrimination at that point.
Okay,
and
so
that's what. And,
so let me ask you, how does this affect the average Joe walking down the street in Indiana?
It doesn't. Absolutely no effect at all.
Okay, quick follow-up question to that, though.
Uh-huh.
This ball, okay, normally when a new law is introduced, or a new bill is introduced, it is to fix a problem. A problem exists. Let's come up with some legislation to fix the problem. What problem did this solve?
It didn't solve any problem that I'm aware of. What I think it was about was protecting the future instead of
okay.
fixing a problem.
What? Okay, that leads to something else then. What future are we being protected from? Or Indiana residents, what are you being protected from? What is coming that Indiana legislators fear?
Well, my guess would be
Chicagoans.
You guys hear about, exactly, Chicagoans. You know, they're down here all the time taking our food stamps and everything. But that's a different show. So, but did you guys hear? I think it was a couple years ago about a Colorado baker that refused to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding.
I did not hear that particular story.
It disagreed with his religious views.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure
okay.
that this same baker, you know, if some fraternity came and said, hey, we need you to make us a penis cake, I'm pretty sure that this same baker would say, no, I'm not going to do that either.
But okay, that's understandable.
Out of proportion, it went to court, and the judge said, you cannot discriminate against homosexuals. You will bake a cake.
So did the homosexual couple sue the baker?
Yes.
Okay, and then it was ruled that...
It was ruled in the homosexual couple's favor.
Okay, so they received damages, I guess, from the baker because... Now, had he previously agreed to bake the cake and then he changed his mind? Or he just said, no, I'm not going to take this?
From what I remember, he was up front and said, I will not do that. I do not agree with your lifestyle.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right. Interesting.
And I think that this is kind of what, you know, unfortunately, that's what this has become is it's a bill or a law that has nothing to do with discrimination against homosexuals, but it seems a lot of people have this certain agenda, and well, you know, it's like everybody's anti-gay. I mean, hell, what if we don't have bright enough clothes in the Kohl's men's department? Are they okay. going to be anti-gay okay. next?
Okay, here, this is where I've got 2 points actually to raise. First of all, everybody is getting on Governor Pence, Mike Pence, about this, and I'll get to that. That's my second point. But my first point is that
we'd bring it up first.
Governor,
just saying.
Thanks, Amos. The Governor Pence is not the author of this bill.
No, he's
other,
not.
Other Indiana legislators are the authors of this bill.
Gutwine, Leahy, and right. there was a couple others.
I do not
the authors of the bill.
I do not have the quote in front of me, and I apologize. One of the bill's authors is actually quoted, and I'm not going to quote because I don't have it in front of me, but he is quoted as saying that this law needs to pass specifically to allow people to refuse service to gay and lesbian couples. He specifically was quoted as saying something to that effect.
And I've not heard that, nor okay. I've not even seen it.
I'm going to try to find this. Okay, but so let's move on to our to my second point then. Governor Pence was warned by pretty much from every angle that if he signs this bill into law, there's going to be a huge, huge backlash against the state of Indiana. And Governor Pence basically said, fuck you, I'm doing it anyway. Indiana is now suffering big time for Governor Pence signing this bill by boycotts. And this isn't just people in the streets with picket signs. These are major corporations. These are like the NCAA.
These and are Nike and Angie's List.
Huge. People are taking their business from Indiana. People are saying that they're not going to expand their business in Indiana. There are governments, either city or state governments.
The whole city of Connecticut, New York. Yeah, they've all denounced taxpayer-funded travel to Indiana. Although I think New York did say that if it is essential to the state of New York, that they will allow it. And I think that it's gotten to the point where it's just, it's taken on a mistaken identity and it's just blown out of proportion.
Mike Pence knew that this was going to happen ahead of time.
I'm sure he did.
This is something that confuses me. Is that he had knowledge ahead of time. Before he signed this bill, he knew that there was going to be a gigantic financial price that Indiana was going to pay for him signing this into law, but he did it anyway. He is trying to run for president. What kind of a message does this send to voters? Like, this is the guy that fucked Indiana and hates gay people. He is not going to be elected president with that on his record.
Here's my thought on this whole thing is something else is going on, because exactly what you said, why would you intentionally do this when you know that you're just going to pull up a giant shitstorm?
Exactly.
My guess is, you know, it's like any good musician. God bless it. Magician. You know, you're drawing attention to one side of the stage when something else is happening on the other side that is part of the whole trick.
That's a very good point. What do you think is on the other side of the stage?
I to be honest with you, I don't know, because for the most part, I kind of stay out of politics because I get pissed off. But
right. And this is actually an odd thing for us to talk about on the show. We don't normally delve too deeply into politics, but this was something that was just, it was so forefront on the national stage that it raised my curiosity a lot, especially being focused on my home state.
Yeah, and these companies that are pulling out and withholding expansions and everything, it's not everyone. Toyota just announced that they're going to add 5,000 new jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not everybody. Some people don't give a shit.
But, well, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, I think the reason why, you know, Nike's making a big stink about this is because they support the gay agenda with a lot of money.
Okay, so what is the gay agenda?
The gay agenda is they want equal rights. They want to be able...
Who's they?
Hold on. List of homosexuals. The homosexuals, they want to be a protected class, and they want to have the same rights as heterosexuals.
Like what? Like I'm not trying to be antagonistic, but I apologize if I'm coming out.
They want to be able to marry each other without scrutiny. They want to be able to.
Do they want to be able to vote? Oh dear God. No, I know. I'm just fucking around. But okay,
you know, so people, so let's sitting in the back of the bus.
Okay, so here's something that for me it helps me to clarify my own thoughts when it comes to things like this. This is not homosexuals want rights. It's people want rights to marry the same gender.
Yes.
Because a homosexual man can, he absolutely has the right everywhere to marry a woman.
Right.
So, people are seeking the right to marry same sex, which is already, that's already legal in Indiana. Is that correct?
Well, see, it was legal and then they recanted. So, I'm not 100% sure if it's legal now or not. I don't know if that mess got straightened out. So,
I believe it is by virtue of the Supreme Court decision,
which is still pending, right?
I believe it. I don't. It may be pending.
Yeah, I think the Supreme Court.
It may be one of the ones that's still pending, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so. Yeah, I guess where I'm sitting right now is just wondering what was the whole point? Because now Governor Pence is talking about he wants his legislators to present him with legislation that protects gays from discrimination as a result of this law. Originally, he basically was saying that no, hell no. I don't know even what you're talking about. He was pretending that he didn't even understand why people were throwing a fit about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's saying, okay, all right, you're hitting me in the pocketbook now. So now I'm going to acknowledge what you're saying and I'm asking for legislation. So if he was, you know, if this whole bill was just a show to put things in place to be anti-gay, he's defeating his own purpose now by asking for legislation to protect gays. So if that's the case, then what's the point of this whole thing? All he did was raise the most gigantic shitstorm to ever hail on Indiana. For what? Like what's it, what's
and
the point?
And you see that's where I'm going back to that, you know, the whole magician thing, you know, because this doesn't make sense at all. You know, mm-hmm. why you would bring up this giant shitstorm, you know, and say, no, you know what, the bill became a law, fuck you, we're not changing it, you mm-hmm. know, and now he's asking legislature to clarify mm-hmm. the religious objectives. So, mm-hmm. Does there need to be one? Yeah, but I believe we already had one in 1993. So, that was passed by Clinton.
Right, that was a federal law.
Exactly. So that's another thing I don't understand why, you know, why we feel the need that we need to have our own when there's already a federal law in place.
Well, what had happened with that, basically, is that the federal law was challenged in court, and some people would say that the federal version of the law is a little watered down now as a result of the Supreme Court ruling on it. So a lot of states have enacted their own versions of it to, I guess, put more meat behind it. Indiana's law has raised so much of a shit because two things. One, Indiana's version of the law is extremely vague. Like, there's not really any specifics in it. It just says, you know, in very open terms that if your religious freedoms are being impinged on, then this law makes that illegal, basically. It just kind of, it doesn't really define the term. There, if you read the bill, it defines their terms, but it defines them in the loosest sense that there really is no meat behind it. The other thing is that almost every state that has a law like this in place, a religious freedom protection or religious freedom, what is it called? Religious Freedom Restoration Act or whatever, or Restoration Act. Yeah. Anyway, whatever it's called, the states that have a similar law on the books also have laws in place to protect discrimination from LGBT or protect LGBT persons from discrimination based on
sexual orientation is a protected class in a lot of those states,
right? Which is why those states are not catching the hellstorm that Indiana is right now.
And you know, that's what I kind of wonder. I wonder if they did make sexual orientation a protected class,
right? Like race, gender, age. Right.
Yeah, you know, my whole thing is, well, would this thing just disappear? You know, but
yeah,
who knows? But you know, I see where a lot of people come from, and you know, I've got a few gay friends, and it's almost split down the middle. I got a gay friend that her and her girlfriend have two kids. They think that what people are doing is absolutely bullshit and that this law has nothing to do with them.
Okay.
You know, she says her thought is, if somebody doesn't want my money, fuck them. Somebody else will.
So okay. That's a valid point.
That's her take on it. Mm-hmm. You know, which I totally agree with her. You know, if somebody doesn't want my money, fuck you. I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know,
my
money's green just like everybody else's.
Right. Exactly.
But there are a few people that, you know, they're, well, fuck you. You're a Pitt supporter. I'm like, dude, you know, just calm down. I just want to talk to you about it, you know. And it got a little heated with one of my friends. I'm like, God, dude, just calm down.
Yeah.
You know, and Pence is every name in the book.
Right.
You know,
right.
I specifically pointed out where it says you can discriminate against gays in that law. You know, so. But it's just, yeah, I wanted to make a point to ask, you know, a lot of people about this, especially. Mm-hmm. You know, the gay people, which it seems to be affecting the most, and mm-hmm. you know, that's what I got. You know, it's just, I think it's the type of person that you are. I think that this whole uproar has no bearing on your religious beliefs or sexual orientation. It's just the type of person that you are. You know, are you going to be passive and just say, fuck you, if you want to discriminate against me, then I'll move on to the next person.
That's a very good point, because the people raising the bullshit obviously are not the passive people. They're the people that make the noise are the people that typically make noise about things. So, yeah, that's a very good point.
I did a survey on Facebook. I didn't get a lot of responses, or, you know, a lot of the types of responses I would hope for. But, you know, the question that I asked was, how many people hide and do not answer the door, or do answer the door and don't let them in when Jehovah's Witnesses come to their door? I asked why, and they said, you know, a lot of people said, because I don't believe what they believe and I don't want to hear that bullshit. Okay. So you're discriminating against them. Plain and simple.
Yes, but however, if one of my friends was a Jehovah's Witness and that person came to my door, I would open the door for them. If Johnny Stranger guy comes to my door and he's just trying to sell me a vacuum cleaner, I'm not opening the door for that guy. It's not that I don't believe in vacuum cleaners, because I absolutely believe in vacuum cleaners, but I don't want Johnny Stranger guy to come to my house and talk to me about vacuum cleaners. So, in fact, I think if I was a Jehovah's Witness, I would not open my door for Jehovah's Witnesses. Because I don't want...
I wouldn't go door-to-door, especially this day and age.
Right. I just don't want Johnny Stranger Man on my porch.
Wow. All right. So, I've kind of sat back and listened to the whole conversation here. And I want to just bring up my personal views. And they actually have changed. Not because of this conversation, but because of one that I had with a coworker of mine. Initially, I was like, this is bullshit. I don't support discrimination in any way, shape, or form. And as a pseudo-pagan slash Wiccan, middle-aged white dude married to a black woman with... a divorce and a bankruptcy under my belt, serving in the military as a not exactly the staunchest supporter of our current government and regime, but still understanding the need for defense of our nation, and all these different opinions that I have and the things that I hold, you know, for myself, beliefs that I hold for myself. Someone told me that if they want to discriminate against people, by all means, let them. I'll take my money somewhere else. Similar to what Jonathan had said. And at first I thought that's kind of ridiculous. Like, why should I be refused service if I'm willing to give you my money? But on the other hand, I remembered back when Chick-fil-A was going on this whole big thing about not supporting gay marriage. Like, they were staunchly against it. And they were actually lobbying against gay marriage in, you know, whatever state. Mm-hmm. And I literally boycotted them for months until it got to the point where I forgot why I was boycotting them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now I go there again. But I completely believe that if they start boycotting that again, or start lobbying against gay marriage again, I will boycott them, and that is my choice.
Mm-hmm.
On a certain level, and I don't know exactly what level this is, but on a certain level, I support discrimination on many, many fronts, maybe even all of them, for the simple fact that we have freedom of choice, and I can just take my money somewhere else. I understand that you come to a point where the government cannot discriminate. Like, you know, I can't be turned down a driver's license because I'm white, or, you know, because I'm not a Christian or whatever else. But there's a line there, and apparently I just hit puberty. There's a line there that I don't think is as clearly defined as the overall conscious of America believes. I think there is some gray there. And I think that is an area that we need to explore as a society, not just in the terms of black and white, but to find out where that gray is and find out where we should have that. Like, you know, if a baker doesn't want to serve goods to a gay couple or whatever else, by all means, you know, whatever. If they don't want to serve me because I'm not wearing a shirt or whatever, I don't, you know, that's okay. Well, I can either put on a shirt, not be gay, or go somewhere else, you know?
You know, something that brings me to a very good question. I see signs in stores all the time, or more restaurants really than stores, that say, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone."
Right.
You guys have seen those, right? So what is
yep.
So what the fuck is the problem? If I can refuse service to you for whatever reason, I feel like, oh, I don't like the way your hair is parted today, I'm not serving you. Then who gives a shit? Like, what is this law doing, and why are we raising such a stink on either side of it.
Someone gets turned down for service somewhere and doesn't believe that they should be turned down for service for whatever reason they believe they were turned down for service for. And, of course, in our litigious society that we have developed, they go straight for the courts and want to waste everybody's money and time trying to prove their point that they're just as good as everybody else and they should have all the same blah, 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 and same service and this and that. And I don't care if it's the gay people, the black people, the white people, the middle-aged people, the 37-year-old people named Anthony. I don't give a fuck what the reason is. If someone doesn't want to serve you in a private business, I don't think they should have to, and you just take your damn money somewhere else. And that company will eventually either go out of business or find a whole bunch of like-minded people to purchase from them. And so be it. That's what capitalism is about. I don't necessarily support capitalism, but that is a society we have, so deal with it.
Exactly. Well put.
Yeah, well said, sir.
There we go.
Yeah.
Man. That's my Molly rant version there.
That was fantastic. No, well said, and that pretty much mirrors my thoughts on it, because this stuff, especially the way the Indiana law is written, it is so vague that there are terms, and of course I just minimized it. Anyway, so there are very vague terms defining what constitutes a violation of this law, that if anyone challenges someone else, or you know, sues someone based on this law, they're going to be wrapped up in court forever and ever just trying to argue what's a, like, for example, substantial burden. Define substantial burden. You, come on. As you ask 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different degrees of an answer.
If you're the only florist within 40 miles and you won't serve your flowers to Asians, okay, I would go substantial burden on that one.
Sure,
but, sure. You know, pick your own fucking flowers. Whatever.
Right. But if we're talking like a metropolitan city where you have like 700 places to buy flowers from and only one of them does not serve whatever your group happens to be, who fucking cares? Don't shop there.
Right.
You know.
Right. But so, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything to add, Jonathan, before we let this topic go and die its own peaceful death that it fucking needs to have, because I really hate people, and this is stupid shit that confirms my dislike for society as a whole.
It looks like he froze.
And I think we might have lost Jonathan. All right.
So my final thoughts on it, twofold. One, I'm really curious to see how this is just going to unfold, because this has just gotten my attention, and every time there's a new article pertaining to this, I gotta read it. I cannot, like, I'm addicted to this right now. I have to read every new development in this story. So I'm interested to see where it goes. Number two, Mike Pence is gonna try to run for president, and I have very morbid curiosity. I just wanna watch this campaign. Just this is
you're waiting for that ship to sink so you can watch it from the shore.
Oh my god! And I don't know, Amos, do you listen to the Jury podcast at all? The Justin Robert.
I have not. I simply don't have time.
Oh,
okay. It's on my list of podcasts to catch up with, though.
Yeah, he is all over Governor Pence's nuts. He is pretending basically to be the campaign advisor for Governor Pence, and it's amazing. It is right. Definitely worth a listen.
As our guest, Jonathan, and because there was technical difficulty beforehand, do you have? We'll give you the last word on this whole deal, this whole debacle. What's your final word on this whole thing, man?
You know, my final word is Hoosiers and the rest of America just need to put on their fucking big boy pants, suck it up, understand that life's not fair. You know, if somebody doesn't want to service you, if somebody doesn't want to shake your hand, fuck them. Who cares? There's other people. So
there it is.
That's my thought. Fuck you, America. There's other people.
Oh, God.
All right. Yep. I'm pretty sure that came from, that's straight from George Carlin right there. I might have to look back in the archives, but. Yeah, so there we go.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for the day. I think we're pretty good. We don't have any feedback that I saw or heard or anything else. Of course, last week's episode posted a mere few hours ago.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you very much, Jonathan, for being a guest on our show. You have been a great guest.
Yes, this has been a good time. Welcome back anytime.
All right.
Kent, how can people, Jonathan, is there anything that you'd like to pimp out before we go?
No, I'm good. Just, you know, stay off the fucking bandwagons, Indiana.
There we go. There's a message to all Hoosiers.
Hell yeah. Be yourself.
All right, Kent, of course, people can follow you at @RM_DelNoche on the Twitter.
Yep,
they can
check
cruise
me
on
out.
Over to Rate Beer, find out what kind of beers you've been drinking. Username DelNoche. They can just search for that, and you know, all your reviews will pop up. How many reviews are you at now?
I'm just shy of 500. I'm like in the 450 range, I think.
Wow, that's better than some people's credit score. So, I'm Amos. You can find me on Twitter at Ethan Kane. You can follow the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery. Submit ideas in our subreddit. That'd be at ritualmisery.reddit.com. And I suppose I should probably do the reddit.com/r/.
It's all the same. Ritualmisery.reddit.com. Just go there. It all leads to the same place.
There we go. you can if you don't want to do that, you can always email us podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can find us on our home on the web. That would be take two because we're highly professional individuals here.
Hey, this is why we're still in beta.
Yes, ritualmisery.com. All of our stuff is there. Everything that we're doing, everything that we're grooving on is right there. If you don't want to do that, you can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Our wonderful music comes from comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for Jonathan, for me, and for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast. See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.